Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, welcome to this week's Must Hear Music podcast. I'm sitting here with Jason Lipschutz.
What's going on, man?
And Natalie Weiner.
Hey.
Hey. I just realized I forgot to turn off my phone, so I'm going to get that scene
nice.
Going. It's on vibrate. Very professional. All right. Let's start off with... Oh, first off, shout out to Erica Ramirez. She's in transit, traveling.
She went back to California for Mother's Day, which is so nice.
Ugh, traveling for Mother's Day. What a suck up.
Okay, Joe, we've already heard about your anti-Mother's Day sentiments.
No, I love Mother's Day. Hey, I love mothers and moms and all.
Does your mom listen to the Must Hear Music podcast?
I hope not.
Is she like a...
But I actually think the answer is no to that question. Aww. So...
Come on, man.
If you're listening, Mom, text me and prove me wrong.
Yeah.
But I doubt that. So anyways, let's just hop in. Prince. So I'm going to start off with Prince released a new song called Baltimore about sort of about the situation in Baltimore. Yeah. I mean, there's very explicit shout outs to Freddie Gray and Michael Brown. But musically, sounds like this is maybe just kind of a song he had kicking around for a while and like turned into a song about Baltimore.
Yeah.
Sure. It's hard to tell with him. I mean, he's such an oddball to begin with. But, you know, if you heard that, Prince did a tribute song to Baltimore, you probably wouldn't show up listening to it and expect to hear this really like sunny power pop ballad. Like the guitar riff is like very reminiscent of Badfinger. And it's just, it certainly is heartfelt. And I think, like, it's nothing, no knock on Prince. Like, I think a lot of the times he's at his poppiest when he's also at his most, like, soul-bearing. I mean, Purple Rain is one of his catchiest songs. And, I mean, that's certainly, like, putting it all out there. Mm-hmm. But it definitely is, like, surprisingly, like, even for Prince, who tends to mine, like, the 70s funk sounds, like, this is really kind of a 60s throwback, almost, or early 70s. So it's kind of weird to hear his Baltimore song being such a kind of, like, psychedelic pop track. But, I mean, you know, nevertheless, like, the feeling is there. Like, it's certainly intended with the best of intentions and intended with it. Yeah, don't quote me on that, please. And there's a nice little comment at the very end. It ends with just saying, like, and now moving on to the situation in Los Angeles, like a nod to the fact that, like, Baltimore is not the last. And, you know, it's really only a matter of time before something like this happens in the next city. And then, you know, I don't want to say it's an unstoppable cycle, but it does seem like it's not ending anytime soon.
Yeah, which is very sad. And it's sad that songs like this need to be written. But... You know, I give Prince credit because it's always nice to see pop artists actually addressing things that are going on in the world, and instead of just kind of closing themselves off from it. And which is weird because I wrote about how Ferguson happened last year and a lot of hip hop artists responded to it, but basically no pop artists did, which was super strange. And it seems like the tide has turned a little bit where a lot more people... from, you know, everyone from Prince to Beyonce and a lot, like, they're actually saying things. Like, they're actually saying things about Baltimore. In terms of this song, it is a little bit strange. I want to use a word less harsh than strange. It's just a little bit...
Strange is a fine word.
Unusual. I would say it's a little bit surprising, let's say that this song is, like you said, a little bit more upbeat. but I think he toes the line really well. I think that it's a little bit heavy-handed in a way where Black Messiah by D'Angelo was not. That touched upon a lot of the same themes, but this is actually calling out specific events, and not that that's a bad thing, but it's just a little bit kind of bashing you over the head with it in terms of like the message. I feel like it didn't need to be quite as direct. I know it's already called Baltimore. We know what he's talking about. We know what he's singing about. That being said, yeah, I enjoyed this more than I thought I was going to. I haven't loved Prince's last few records, so
Art Official Age. Yeah. No, I agree. Like, I'm a huge Prince fan, and the last ones haven't moved me a lot. And I did really like this song.
Yeah, yeah. I just think that if it was a little bit more nuanced, I would have loved it. But as it stands now, I could definitely see this being something that is not just a one-time thing just for this occasion, but something that I could listen to on repeat.
Yeah, for me, it's interesting that you bring up the D'Angelo, because like I think it's an interesting antidote kind of to both D'Angelo and Kendrick Lamar, who both made like very, you know, this is about like Black people in America. You know, this is like what our experience is like. We're trying to express this in an album. And they're both like pretty intense, you know, with a lot of like anger, which is totally right behind them. And so to have Prince come out with something that's like so happy kind of, it's like, it's refreshing to me. And like, I agree that, you know, it is definitely heavy handed, but I think that sort of goes along with its purpose, which is like a protest march, you know, it's like meant to be inclusive and have people sing along. And, you know, maybe it's not going to be like his most transcendent, you know, piece of music, but like, I feel like it serves its purpose in that sense. And that has like easy to understand messages that are like memorable and that people are going to get, like that you would do at a rally. Like, it does recall the 60s in that way, and that songs, many songs that were also protest songs were like similarly heavy-handed.
Yeah,
and
like Ohio, the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song was just very like heavy-handed and just very literally about the incidents.
Yeah.
As is this one.
But it like got people riled up because it's like, it's serious, you know? This is happening.
You make a good point. I think that it's interesting you see the way an artist approaches something like this, which is to be very general or to be very specific. And I guess personally, I usually tend to lean toward the general because I feel like it can mean not more than just one instance. Obviously, what's going on in Baltimore needs to be highlighted, and it's been highlighted. But I think that going back to like Kendrick and D'Angelo, like they're not just about one specific incident. They're about an entire culture. And again, like I agree with you that it's intense and that the Prince song is refreshing in that way. But I guess personally, I just connect with those more because they're saying, look at this and how this is connected with all of these other things instead of just look at this, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. No, I totally agree. They're more timeless. And that's, you know, I just think it's cool to like, you know, to have variety.
Prince is doing his thing.
Happening.
All right, well, let's give a listen to it. It's Prince Baltimore. We're tired of crying and people dying. Let's take all the guns away. Absence of love. All right, that was Prince Baltimore. Next up, let's turn our attention to a Natalie pick. We've got the official remix of Trap Queen.
Oh, yes.
Courtesy of Fetty Wap, featuring Gucci Mane and Quavo of Migos fame.
Quavo.
Well,
somebody needs to be school.
Shoot me. Yeah.
All right. So I picked this, even though obviously we all know Trap Queen. It is number 2 song on the Billboard Hot 100 right now. But I picked it because the remix feels like a remix should, a better version of the original. Not all remixes like can stand that test, but this one I think does, because I am personally going to vouch for Fetty Wap as a great singer. I love his voice. He is like not really a rapper to me. Like, his rapping is like pretty not spectacular. And so subbing out his verses with Gucci Mane and Quavo, who are, you know, themselves, at least they have their own like distinctive vibes on their verses. I just think that just adds something really great that this song kind of needed. It was not like me originally who pointed this out. There was a piece on Grantland kind of dissecting why Trap Queen is going to probably be the song of the summer. It's like there's a strong argument for that
which
to
is,
be made.
I mean, I know the remix is new, but it's crazy because the song itself is a year old practically.
No, it's like, it's wild. But but yeah, it's just like, it's a better version of the original. And now we just get like extra fun on top of Fetty Wap's awesomeness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Here are two things I don't know if you know about me, Natalie. I feel like you know about this about me, Joe. Number one,
I think I know where you're going.
I love Gucci Mane with my whole heart. Number two, I love Migos with my whole heart. So on this song, I mean, not all of Migos, but Quavo, to have Quavo and Gucci on one of my favorite songs of the year, it's just like, it's almost like it was a present for me that like Fetty Wap just came in here to our Billboard office and was like, hey, Jason, you know, it's, aww, you know, it's, this is for you.
Jason. I didn't even realize that I was picking a present.
I wasn't, and I didn't even need a present. It's not my birthday. I'm not sad or anything. It's just, it's a great thing. It's funny because I actually, today was the first time I've heard this remix. I heard of it, and I just have been meaning to listen to it, and I haven't heard it.
Wait, so you were so excited about it.
I know. Yeah,
that's the thing. Did not listen to it.
It's almost like...
Sus. Highly sus.
No, trust me. I know. And I've just been like waiting to hear it. And I just... It delivers on my highest expectation. Like, just Gucci comes in after that, like after the first minute and a half, and you just hear Gucci start going off. And I'm just like, yes, yes. And he sounds great. Quavo, he's such a goofball, and this, like, all three of these rappers just line up so perfectly for me, where they're just having fun with the genre, they're just being themselves, they're being weird, they're being wild, they're using stupid sex metaphors, and it's great. It's I'm all in. I'm like Trap Queen remix as song in the summer. Let's just do that.
No, definitely. I will fight. I like literally hear it going by in my neighborhood in cars just constantly. It's just like Trap Queen on repeat.
It's
like,
really not unlikely. Yeah, it's like on it, well on its way. Like I know Pandora released their like 12 song of the summer contenders. Totally not, you know, not them editorializing, just saying like, what are people listening to and what are they giving the thumbs up to? And that was one of the top ones. So I think it's a very strong contender.
Yeah. And here's the thing about Trap Queen. If I were to give it like any kind of negative, I feel like it's a little too short. Like it always leaves me wanting a little bit more. And
see,
now
maybe that's
it's actually longer. So... Trap Queen.
I mean, yeah, I agree with Natalie. I think this is, I mean, I liked the original a lot, and I think this is an improvement. I think the original was good, but it did need the kind of like that extra person to come up and just, you know, like slam. I don't actually know basketball metaphors. Can you give me a basketball metaphor?
Let's just talk about basketball.
That like completes this thought, but I feel like
basically
it was like,
let's say this. Fetty Wap.
You asked for this.
Fetty Wap is Chris Paul lobbing the ball up. And Gucci Mane and Quavo are equally Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan, just alley-ooping
all day. That's exactly
what
I was going to say.
That's what you're going to say?
Yeah, 100%.
You should have stolen his Chris Paul metaphor,
yeah. I
Jason.
Don't know who those people are, so.
Joe's more like Spencer Hawes. He's on the bench, but he's a former Sixer, so I love him. Anyway,
No, I'm not even on the court. I'm nowhere in that metaphor.
He's outside retired. The arena, sitting on the ground.
I'm like watching cable TV outside the arena in this metaphor. But no, it's great. I really, yeah. I mean, I don't have a ton to add other than I just love the sound of it. It is. It's just like, it's so much fun. Like the entire song, and it's familiar, like it's what we've heard from Trap, but I don't think we've heard a trappy song that's just this like melodic and accessible. Like this really is like, I think, the best crossover sort of song of that genre.
Yeah, and
we've heard.
It's funny because we were talking about this song for a while on the Juice podcast last week because, you know, Erica was out, so had to slide in and spill some juice, as it were. But we were talking about the fact that...
don't say spill some juice again.
That's what they do on the Juice podcast. They spill juice.
Okay.
Anyway, we were talking about Fetty Wap, and I feel like he really has a chance to be an artist that is around for a good amount of time just because his style is so unique. Where you compare Trap Queen with last year's viral rap hit, quote unquote, which was Bobby Shmurda with Hot Boy. I mean, that's a great song, but it's not like you listen to it and immediately get what Bobby Shmurda is all about. It's, totally. It's more about the song. It doesn't really have a hook.
It takes a little bit to get into.
It's basically just
like
yeah.
15 seconds. You're already into it because it's that, hey, what's up? Hello. You're already like, I know, can remember that.
Listening
yeah,
to
I
Trap
like
Queen, you know exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, like listening to Trap Queen one time, you're just like, okay, this is what Fetty Wap's all about. He's a rapper that sings mostly.
Rapper,
quote-unquote, that is extending what Drake and what Future and what those guys are doing in terms of blending rap and singing.
And his voice is way better than yours.
Anyway. I would maybe not Drake. Definitely Future. Yeah.
Yes, Drake. Did you see his performance on Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah.
He was great.
No, I know, but I don't know. I love Drake's voice.
You know, it's not one or the other, guys. We can like them both.
Marvin's Room.
The world is Marvin's big Room. Enough to enjoy both Drake and Fetty Wap.
Is it
so,
though?
yes. Definitive statement, yes. So let's listen to Trap Queen Remix, Fetty Wap featuring Gucci Mane and Quavo.
Yes.
From Migos.
What's up, hello? Since your pretty ass soon as you came in the door, I just wanna chill, got a sack for us to roll. Married to the money, introduced it to my store.
All right, that is the Trap Queen Remix. Let's do a Jason track now. Let's hit up Little Boots.
Little Boots.
Song is Better in the Morning.
All right, so Little Boots, who is a UK pop singer who's been around for a while, never really crossed over here. Not sure she's ever going to. I don't say that as an offense. She's just never really come close to having that moment over here. She put out an album in 2013. She's already back with what seems to be a new album. And Better in the Morning is a collaboration with Ariel Rechstad, who we all know.
You're a big fan of Jason.
Yeah. Basically, another guy who came to the office and delivered this amazing track to me. no, but he's worked with, you know, Haim and Charlie XCX and Vampire Weekend and Madonna, I guess.
Sky Ferreira,
yeah. So he's a really hot indie pop producer, and he co-produced one song on Little Boots' last album, but produced this song, which I don't think is an official single, but it's just like a buzz track. But it's just great. Like, I just really, this might be my favorite Little Boots song ever. I just think it's, the percussion is, I know. Whoa, hold on. My favorite Little Boots song ever?
I hope listeners were sitting down when they heard that.
I know.
That. We should have given a 5-second warning.
They're jumping up now. I think the song is just so fun. Like, the percussion's really crisp. Her performance is really cheeky. Like, the song is about, like, the walk of shame and, like, the morning after and whatnot. And it's just fun. Like, it's very light, and it paints her as someone who can have a lot of fun with her aesthetic. Where I feel like her first two albums were pop albums, but they were very much, like, they weren't, like, silly at all, but where this is very much like poking fun at a situation a lot of people have been in. I'm curious as to see what you guys think.
I guess I'm gonna go kind of the other side of the coin. I like the song.
Okay,
it's not your favorite.
However, it's not my favorite Little Boots song.
That's a shocker.
I have to say, after listening to it like twice, I was like, okay, this sounds familiar, and then it hit me. I was like, the beat is like just suspiciously similar to Genius of Love, the Tom Tom Club song.
Well,
and I feel like
what
also,
song is it?
Well, that's fair. Like Tom Tom Club, especially Genius of Love, was like a fairly influential song. I mean, Mariah Carey, you know, gave her spin on it for Fantasy, but this isn't like sampling. This is just like, so the beat's very reminiscent to me of Genius of Love. And the sing-song, like the way she's singing this is kind of like a back-and-forth sing-song thing, which is also very similar to what Tom Tom Club did in the 80s. So the whole thing is like just a little too similar for me to like really be into it. But But that's what I'm going to say. It's not nothing against the song.
I kind of want to hear, I haven't heard the Tom Tom Club song in a very, very long time.
This is like not something where you're going to like create a YouTube video where you play one and then the other.
It's not like a Joe Satriani.
Yeah, this is like certainly not a ripoff situation, but
just overwhelmingly similar.
Just like the vibe reminds me. What do you think, Natalie?
I mean, I liked it. I got to say, like, it made me, it gave me like Robin vibes, but I'm also like not. I don't know. This is, I'm a little out of my depth here with like the indie pop thing, but like, you know, it was like fun and bouncy. And I agree with you that the choice of subject matter was cute. I appreciate that. Doing something different, you know, relatable.
Just
am
wait
I
it.
Right, ladies? No, I'm just kidding.
Just wait until Gucci Mane and Quavo remix this song. You will be all about it, Natalie.
Or you will, since they're apparently your favorite rappers. Oh, so.
My goodness gracious.
But yeah.
Or till Wale remixes it, like, and just does Better in the Morning, parentheses, fucking.
Yeah. Oh my
and
parentheses, God, please no.
Shout back to Miguel, Wale, coffee, effing.
Flashback to last week. Yeah, no. Please no. Wale, do not remix anything else. Just stay away. Even this song, which I will be the happy medium and say it's my favorite Little Boots song, but I have only heard one Little Boots song.
Oh, wow.
So.
That's fair. I don't know. I feel like you guys are underrating it a little bit.
Okay. No, go listen and see for yourself. I just was getting just like some slight knockoff Robin vibes, but like I can be here for knockoff Robin.
Yeah. Like, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I feel like this is like when the last time you were on, that was the Mumford and Sons showdown, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I remember being very diplomatic about Mumford and Sons. Okay.
Still love
Joe was meaner about them.
I still love that song, The Wolf. Oh well. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say anything about Mumford. They're a very popular band that people enjoy. Damn. So, but let's let you, the listener, decide.
Why'd
so
you point
let's.
At me? Am I, the
I pointed at Jason, but it was more a point through Jason.
Yeah.
In case you were wondering, to the world, because you actually are right by the window, so it was more pointing to the world. All right, never mind. Let's just listen to it. Little Boots, Better in the Morning. Stars are drowning in the sky. They know that we are waiting. Moon says to the sun goodbye. I guess I'll catch you later. People are just. All right, that was Little Boots. Next up. I think we have, let me see, what should we do? A$AP Rocky. Let's do A$AP Rocky featuring Mark Ronson and Rod Stewart, Every Day, which is one of the new songs off of A$AP's album, which is coming up on June 2nd. Mm-hmm. And for those curious, the featuring Rod Stewart is not new Rod Stewart vocals, but vocals from a song called In a Broken Dream from a band called Python Lee Jackson.
Yes.
The whole thing is just so circuitous. So
it is definitely. There are many nuances.
Before Rod Stewart had his very successful solo career, and even before he joined the rock band Faces, he like would just sing on other people's stuff. Like the first Jeff Beck album is, which is one of the like very early like proto-metal albums, is him singing. And similarly, this was a band he was not in, Python Lee Jackson, and he just like sang vocals on this one song, and it was their biggest hit. So it's being sampled and interpolated on this A$AP Rocky song. So with that little intro, I'm going to toss it off to you.
Thank you, Joe, for the intro.
Boom.
I just want to say, like, maybe I should change my Twitter bio name to Python Lee Jackson. Something I'm thinking about.
I like that.
It's also that's an Australian band name, and that is like the most Australian band name.
Like,
Python Lee. Wait, I can't do an Australian accent.
Okay,
I'm just gonna stop right there.
No,
Python Lee Jackson.
That was pretty good.
That was not bad. Python Lee Jackson.
Python Lee Jackson.
That was actually really good. I'm
all right,
impressed. Wow,
I guess I'm
Australian
coming
accents.
Into my own. They're tough. They're really tough to nail
tough
down.
Anyway.
Must hear
so A$AP Rocky, not Australian, from Harlem, New York, where we are coming to you live from.
We're not in Harlem, New York, though.
Well, but we're in New York.
We are in New York, yes.
Anyway, so this song, I think it's like maybe my favorite ASAP Rocky song from this album. Since we're doing this right now. Yeah. I don't know. But I'm a sucker for like old samples, like kind of soul Rocky samples in rap songs. And when it first dropped, everyone was like, oh, my God, he collaborated with Rod Stewart. And then it was like, it's just a sample. And I was like, OK, guys, we need to chill about this. But it is interesting, I think, that he's sampling Rod Stewart when Kanye is working with Paul McCartney. And like, oh, my gosh, every genre is coming together. Can you even imagine? Yeah. It's so crazy. But I just think it's a really well done track. And I like the Miguel doing the vocals on top. I think even though I'm not like a Mark Ronson acolyte by any means, like throwback stuff is definitely his wheelhouse. So I think he was a good choice of producer for this because it does definitely have a little bit of an updated retro vibe.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And yeah, I think it's just, it's cool to see Rocky. I think this is maybe more outside his comfort zone than any of the other stuff I've heard from the album so far. This feels a little bit, it's just different. It's just a totally different vibe, I think, than most other ASAP Rocky stuff I've heard. So yeah.
Go ahead, Joe. I want to hear what you think, man.
No, all I had to say was just little trivia. No, I really like the song as well. I think, it's a great sample and he does well over it. Miguel sounds great. Similarly, like I am not the biggest Mark Ronson fan. And I think, I mean, Uptown Funk is an incredible song, but he definitely like straddles a line between being a little too like hammily throwback to the point where it's like, this is just really good at aping old sounds instead of like making new ones.
Totally agree.
But in this case, I think it lands like well. Yeah. And I feel like if the whole ASAP Rocky album was like this, I would not be particularly thrilled. But like if this is one of many sounds on it.
Wait, why not? Is it not hard enough for you, Joe?
Yeah,
it's Joe likes the sound of the streets.
It doesn't hit hard enough for me, and it's just not wild enough either, you know? But
it's no lightning bolt.
It's no lightning bolt.
That's a deep must-hear music podcast joke.
Yeah, we can't get too referential into past episodes. But yeah, so basically, yeah, if this was more like an experimental noise metal duo, I would be... No, I don't know. I think it's good, but it's not like my favorite side of Rocky. I don't know. What about you, Jason?
Yeah, so I think I'm a little bit disappointed in this song because I actually really like it, but I just think it's too busy. I just feel like there's too much going on. And I can't really get super into it where it's like I've listened to it a bunch since it's come out and I start listening to it and I keep finding different things that I like about it. And then I'm like, oh, OK, interesting. And then it just veers completely away from those things. You have Miguel like singing next to basically Rod Stewart, like a Rod Stewart sample. You have ASAP coming in, then he changes up his flow, then the music changes. I just feel like there's just too much going on with this song. And if it sounds like three songs kind of jammed into one. And I think those three songs are all interesting and good and exciting and eclectic, but I just don't think they mesh that well together.
It's an interesting point. I didn't think of it that way. And that actually reminds me, just to bring it all back to Paul McCartney... Like that was like totally the McCartney thing. Like of he was always like either praised or criticized for like throwing three disparate songs into like one unholy mishmash. So it's interesting to hear.
I just feel like it's like he's in the studio with Mark Ronson and he's like, all right, we got to get this Rod Stewart sample. And then we got to get Miguel to also sing on it. And then we'll change it up here. It's just like, dude, like.
See, I feel like it's pretty organic sounding. And that's one of the reasons I like it. But, you know.
Well, there you
agree
go.
Agree to disagree.
Wow. Right,
you guys can arm wrestle about it post podcast. We'll Instagram the results of that.
I would probably lose.
Jason. I might have a
shot. Yeah, you're definitely.
Jason's weak from eating a salad anyways. Yeah. So.
I know, that's so true.
Anyways, well, let's listen to this. So it's A$AP Rocky featuring Miguel, Mark Ronson, Rod Stewart, probably some other people. It's called Every Day. Take it slow. All right, that was the new A$AP Miguel, Mark Ronson, Rod Stewart
thing.
Good job.
And let's kick it to another Jason track. Let's do Katie Groves.
Yeah.
And that's C-A-D-Y, Katie.
Yeah, Katie Groves.
Song is called Crying Game and disappointingly not a Boy George cover.
Oh.
But...
I know.
But that's all I have to say about that. Great, great movie, by the way, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking
about, but it's fine. You're doing... Oh, you've never seen Crying Game? Oh, Natalie, you got to get on Crying
Game.
It's
like Irish politics.
super weird movie.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That sounds like my dream film.
So Katie Groves is a pop rock artist who I wrote a lot about last year, actually. It's funny. I thought her story was really interesting. She is a... basically, she comes from the Midwest. She had like this moment of tiny fame in around like 2011 when she was on RCA Records. She put out an EP. She went on tour with Hot Shell Ray, who were a thing back then, of course. And
what was their hit?
Oh man, me and C-Pain sing Hot Shell Ray all day, Tonight Tonight.
Oh yeah,
and I like it like that.
I don't know what these songs are.
Wow, really? I'm going to sing Hot Shell Ray for you guys.
I'm 3 after years the podcast. Old.
Anyway, back to Katie Groves. It didn't work out on her label with RCA. She begged to get off of it. She did. And she's basically had like a couple minor chances, went away for a little bit, and this is her first song in 3 years. And the reason I'm so interested in her is because the one EP she put out, which was called This Little Girl in 2011, just showed so much songwriting promise. And I was just like, I was just really interested in the way she put these pop songs together. She's such an interesting personality. And I feel like this, it comes across with Crying Game. And again, this is a totally different look for her. She's more into like up-tempo pop rock, or at least she was. But this is like a very sad song about her, basically her upbringing, her dad in jail, two of her brothers were killed. It's a very sad song, but it's handled so deftly and so powerfully that it just, I just really like, it really gets to me actually. It came out earlier this week and I've listened to it like nonstop and, yeah, I'm glad to hear that she's back. And the last thing I want to say, and I'm really interested to see what you guys think of this song, is I don't know if her future is in like singer-songwriter. I said this last year that I think that her future is in just songwriting maybe. Mm. If she chooses to go down that route, but I just think that she's such a clever and articulate songwriter that I feel like she's just going to succeed in some way. So anyway, that I will now shut up about Katie Groves.
I did not know that she had. I was curious because there was the line about seeing brothers buried. If that was like a metaphorical thing or literal?
Yeah, it was. It is actually
that's
literal,
very
yeah.
sad.
Yeah.
And
she comes
sucks.
From. I think she was one of seven, and it's a shame because when I profiled her, it was after one of her brothers passed away. And then like a month after my story came out, another of her brothers passed away. And it was really sad. Yeah. So anyway.
That's awful. I mean, yeah, how do you follow that up? I thought it was good. I got kind of, and this seems probably like an inept comparison, but like early Taylor Swift, yeah, almost.
Definitely
like,
get those vibes.
Because yeah, it is very sad and like seemingly heartfelt, but it's also very polished. Like this is a pretty like mainstream singer-songwritery sound, and yeah, it made me feel like I could see an album of like this kind of stuff doing well. I just keep thinking about. I mean, yeah, like where the song comes from is just so sad. So it's, you know, that's was kind of just having found that out 2 minutes ago. Hard to get over, but in terms of like you know, singer songwritery, country folk, like yeah, this is interesting. I would like hear more from her.
There you go, Natalie.
Yeah, I mean, sad story aside, maybe I don't know. I feel like anything I say now is going to sound really cynical. But yeah, I mean she's clearly a good songwriter. Like, I kind of agree with your assessment, even though she does have a good voice. But like, maybe her future is in songwriting and like, and whatnot. To me, like, just the production, like, this is probably not anything to do with her, but the production to me, like, veers toward this genre that I call in my head like tampon commercial music, which is like uplifting female vocalists with guitars. Yeah. That like that's just kind of, and that it is does. Like an automatic turnoff for me, but her songwriting skill is apparent. She has a nice voice. So.
Yeah, I totally agree with you actually that I feel like the song one thing the song doesn't need is like the little chorus of in the background.
Yeah, that
Yeah, and I agree. Yeah. Tampon commercial.
It's like either
music.
That or what you hear in an airplane before it takes off.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you that I like the beginning of the song better, where it's just basically stripped down her singing. But yeah, I mean, more than anything, it's nice to have her back, and I'm hopefully this is the start of something.
All right, cool. Let's listen to it's Katie Groves' Crying Game.
I missed the call and woke up to find my brother was gone. That's when I lost my mind at 18 years old.
All right, that was Katie Groves. Next and last, we're going to do one of mine. And this is a new artist who I know very little about, so little that I'm not sure if it's Hannah or Hana, but it's all caps H-A-N-A. The song is called Clay, and this is this girl who has been popping up on Grimes' Instagram a ton. Like, they just seem to hang out, and apparently, you know, Grimes must be, like, mentoring her musically or something, because now she's got this song out called Clay that sounds pretty similar to early Grimes, and it's produced by Blood Diamonds, who has worked with Grimes on the song Go, which was famously the Grimes song that Rihanna rejected, or someone Rihanna's team rejected, or whatever the right. hell happened. But anyways, it's just really an arrest. Like, I'm a big early Grimes fan, I would say. And I don't mean that, like, I don't like her now. I just mean she hasn't put out a new album in a really
Grimes.
Long time.
She's, like, how old? Like, 22?
But she does have a fair amount of, like, mixtapes and stuff out. Anyways, so it's just a really kind of, like, beautiful, like, electronic singer-songwritery sort of thing. And it's a little less experimental than what Grimes does, because I feel like Grimes works very much in like soundscapes and like atmospheric things. This is less atmospheric. This is like more of a straightforward song. Like, this is very like songwriterly constructed. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think it's still interesting. I love her voice, and it's just like one of those really pretty like songs that at first seems like nice background listening, but the deeper you get into it, like 2 minutes in, you're like, this is a very like solidly constructed sound. Song, I mean, and I'm very excited to hear more from her. But what did you guys think? Does this grab either of you?
I liked it. I definitely liked it. I liked her more than I liked the song. I think that she is promising in the way that she kind of set. She's in that very like warm R&B mode of like you saw Banks last year or something mm-hmm. like that. Not as dark as that, and but. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about the song itself. Like, I was waiting for it to really start, like, popping for me. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Grimes is a good teacher. If so, like one of the most original voices of the past decade in my eyes, and I just think that, you know, I want to hear more, and I don't know if I want to hear this song over and over, but I want to hear more.
Fair enough, Natalie.
I mean, yeah, I was a fan. I'm not like grabbed, like I need to go listen to like 100 things by her, but she definitely seems to be successfully pursuing the vein of similar like mononym women of electronic R&B, you know. Yeah. She reminds me of like this girl Liz who like had a moment mm-hmm. last year.
Yeah, I remember
you know?
That. Yeah, Liz. It was a good song. The Liz
yeah,
song.
No, she had like I loved her EP. Where she is now, we don't know. Liz, where are you? But yeah, it's kind of like similar vein to that, a little bit more ethereal than her stuff, but like kind of just a little bit of a conversational vocal style.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm down. I think this is like the first bite. We need to hear more.
Yeah, it's very woozy in like an appealing way, but I just think that you need something to kind of anchor this song, and I feel like it's not there.
I did not have that reaction. I thought it was a nicely constructed ballad, but I hear what you're saying. I feel like this is a good sound for like opening a tour or like early festival set, like 2 p.m. festival sort of thing.
We've said that about artists on the podcast before. Like, yeah, can you imagine going up to a, you know, festivals like 2 p.m., sun's still out.
Yes.
Seeing hot.
Exactly.
Ideal time to be at a festival is 2 p.m., so that's the must-hear music podcast.
Seriously.
No, that's actually fair. I usually don't show up that early.
Yeah.
But yeah, now I feel like I have the wind knocked out of my sails, but I'm going to come out for it. I'm going to say Hannah or Hana, whatever it is. It's all caps. It's 1N and 1H, and the song is Clay, and I am really digging it. I think it's great, and I'm very curious to hear more from her. And I hope more from her is good, because if it isn't, you know, I don't want to be proven wrong. I mean, that would be humiliating.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just it's not like...
No, I'm kidding. But yeah, anyways, why don't you guys listen to it and see what you think. So Hannah, Clay. Now I'm going now. All right, that's all we have this week for the Must Hear Music podcast. If anyone has any Rex recommendations, please tweet them
Thank
in.
Thank you for saying what Rex means.
Yep. Yeah, I just thought some people might not
I thought
be
you
sure.
Meant rec rooms.
Yeah,
where we could record the Must
or like an Oedipus Rex or something. Be like, why
that
would
is
he
exactly
be asking
what
for
everyone
that?
Thought you were talking about.
Or a T Rex. Yeah. It could have been really confusing, guys.
I like that you jumped to Oedipus Rex.
Yeah. Yeah. Done. All right. Paging Dr. Freud. Anyway.
Well, what? We were just talking about the Lysistrata earlier because of that Spike Lee movie. So I have old Greek plays on the mind. Wow. It's not my fault.
Another day at Billboard discussing ancient Greek texts.
Yeah.
We should also say, Mr. Joe Lynch, that if people like the Must Hear Music podcast, hey, they can subscribe to it on iTunes so they never miss an episode.
That's true. You can do that. And you can also put in a review. We've been looking at some of the reviews, which is very fun. Seriously, thank you so much for listening. And we will see you next week.